So Glenn, it's all yours.
Amen. Tonight we're going to look at studying the Bible. And I want to just give us a few examples, only because of time, and something that we all need to be doing on a daily basis. Amen. If you would, please open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to begin reading in verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Now, in order for us to be able to preach the word, in order for us to be prepared and to carefully instruct, we have to know the word of God. Amen? That's first and foremost. So tonight, this is going to be a brief lesson on how to study the word of God. Amen? And in this study, we'll look at just a few ways that we can enrich our lives, draw closer to God, and preach the word of God, all from studying the word. Amen? Amen. If you turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1, we're going to go kind of quickly here only because of time, but I want you to take notes, and we're going to talk about that very shortly. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. It says, meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, then you will be prosperous and successful. Psalms 1:2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Amen. Psalms 119:48 says, I lift up my hands to your commands, which I love, and I meditate on your decrees. Amen. And Psalms 119:97 says, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it day and night. I'm sorry, all day long. Now, I want you to take note of one thing here. There was something in common that all of these writers had. They delighted in the law, in the word. They loved the word of God. And they meditated on the word day and night. Amen? Amen. Now, what does meditate actually mean? Let's define meditate for us. To dwell on anything in thought, to contemplate, to study, to turn or revolve any subject in the mind. Appropriately but not exclusively used of pious contemplation or a consideration of the great truths of religion. To meditate, to study. Amen? Let's look at what study means. To study, that is to set the thought or mind. Amen? Literally, a setting of the mind or thoughts upon a subject. Hence, application of minds of books to arts or science or to any subject for the purpose of learning what is not before known. To fix the mind closely upon a subject. To muse, to dwell upon in thought. So what we've learned here so far, we've gotten two little lessons very quickly. We understand, we know that to meditate on something means we're going to work it over in our minds. And if you notice the writers of Joshua and David, They say they meditated day and night. They meditated all day long. To meditate means to go over something in your mind until you have it. Amen? Study. To apply the mind to something. To read and examine for the purpose of learning and understanding, as to study law or theology or to study languages. Amen? Now, as any professional, as any person who has a trade, they need their tools. Amen? We as disciples need our tools as well. All right? So now let's look at some of the tools and what is needed to study the Bible. First of all, I believe we need to have concordances. Amen? Some of my favorite concordances are the NIV. If anybody's have one, you know it's about that thick, that big. The NIV concordance. And also, there's also a King James concordance. So you can get this pretty much the same thickness, if you will, that has just about every word reference, biblical reference in it. And also Bibles. Most Bibles, if you look in the back of your Bibles, have concordances. Amen? So that's one great tool. I think another great tool to have are commentaries. They help you to get a better understanding of what that particular passage means that you're referencing. Amen? I think some of the best commentaries, and I know for me, are the Matthew Henry Complete Commentary, the Matthew Henry Concise Commentary, McGarvey and Pendleton. Alan Ross made me aware of this particular commentary, which is awesome. Studying the book of Acts, and it's incredible. Albert Barnes' Notes on the Bible, another good commentary to use when we are researching scriptures, amen? James Fawcett and Brown's commentary, again, another good commentary. And also John Gill's Exposition of the Bible. And these are just a few of the commentaries that you can get or have access to that will help you to research and gain a better understanding of the Bible in order for us to meditate on, in order for us to study out. Amen? Amen. Well, Bibles. I think different versions of the Bible helps us to get a better understanding of the Word of God. Amen? This is one of my Bibles. This is the Holman Christian Standard Version, which was given to me, and I find it very fascinating. And as you look into your Bibles, there's also reference scriptures for a particular passage that you're looking at. Amen? I think also if you have the opportunity to have eSword, it's an electronic Bible, which is fascinating. That particular version of the Bible, which is free, has all the commentaries that I mentioned, dictionaries, Knave's Topical Bible, all types of things that are great. Other Bibles, the NIV, I think is a great Bible to be able to, which is what we use all every day. The New International Version, which is another great Bible to use to compare scriptures. The American Standard Version. It's an older version of the Bible, but it's also a great study tool to use. Amen? The Contemporary English Version of the Bible. The English Standard Version of the Bible. The New King James Version. I mean, all these Bibles, and there are many more others that we can use to reference and study out a particular subject or topic or characteristic, if you will. Amen? Amen. My very first Bible was a Thompson Chain Reference Bible. Many of us have that in our libraries. Mine is about that thick, and it's very worn. If anybody's seen my Thompson Chain Reference, they'll know it's been used extensively. And it's a great tool because it helps link certain scriptures and certain passages and certain words together whenever you're researching. Amen? And most importantly, you have to have a heart for God. If you look at the passion that Joshua shared in that scripture we read in Joshua 1:8. And if you look at the passion that David had when he says he meditates on the word of God all day long, day and night, he had a love for God. He had a passion for God. He had a passion for the word of God. Amen? Amen. Now, there are different types of studies. We have topical studies. We have studies of specific topics, such as Jesus, who is God. These are studies that we can do, and again, these are just examples of topics that you can look at and want to study out. We can study out specific things, such as, oh, let's say, hospitality or serving in the church. There are also, you can do character studies. Amen? Characters such as Moses, Nahum, Habakkuk, all the minor prophets. I mean, there's endless characters you can study on the Bible. Amen? And also, there are different characteristics that you can study out. For example, pride. Amen. Did get quiet, didn't it? Selfishness, greed, fear, worry, just to name a few. These are some certain things that you may want to look up and study out for yourselves. And how many of us are taking notes right now? How often do we go back and look at those study notes? How often do we go back and review or become Bereans and check out what was taught to us that particular Sunday or Wednesday or Thursday evening? Amen? Great, great tools. Tonight, I'm going to give an example of some of the notes that I've used as study material. Amen? Just last Sunday, Alan mentioned the Nicolaitans and how God did not want us to become like the Nicolaitans. How many of us actually went back and found out who they are and why God felt that way about them? Again, another way to study the Bible. Amen? Amen. This is an example of a study I did, and I've named it Taming the Tongue. Amen? Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to begin reading in verse 8. It says, finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Now, in this passage of Scripture, I want us to notice three things that I took from this. First of all, we must be set apart and watch what we say. Amen? Secondly, we must not insult anyone or repay evil for evil. And thirdly, we must keep our lips from deceitful speech. Now, I'm going to start there and kind of work our way back a little bit. We must keep our lips from deceitful speech. What is deceitful speech? Well, I think, first of all, in order for us to know what deceitful speech is, we have to understand what is deceit. Amen? Literally, a catching or ensnaring, hence the misleading of a person, the leading of another person to believe what is false or not to believe what is true, and thus to ensnare him. It is fraud, fallacy, cheating, any declaration, artifice, or practice which misleads another or causes him to believe what is false. To sum it up, it's lying. Amen? Now, we're going to use Nave's topical Bible and the NIV Concordance as a reference material to begin our search on the passages on the topic of deceit. We lost our overhead there, but that's okay. We're going to keep rolling. Amen? What does the Bible have to say about deceit? And how does God feel about it? Let's open our Bibles to, let's turn over to Mark chapter 7. And we're going to begin reading in verse 20. The Bible says, he went on, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. So what do we learn here? That deceitfulness comes from the heart. Amen? Now, contrast that with the heart of David and the heart of Joshua, who meditates on God's word day and night. It's a heart issue. Amen? Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. We learn here that deceitfulness is a characteristic of the heart. Amen? Now, if you will, turn over to Psalms chapter 5. And we'll begin reading verse 4. It says, you are not a God who takes pleasure in evil. With you, the wicked cannot dwell. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies, bloodthirsty and deceitful men the Lord abhors. The Lord abhors deceit. Amen. Psalms 101:7 says, no one who practices deceit will dwell in my house. No one who speaks falsely will stand in my presence. Now, let's go back to the original passage in 1 Peter chapter 3 and look at verse 16. It says, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. First of all, we know we've learned from our study that God hates deceit, and we should not have any deceitful speech. Amen? Amen. Now it says here in the last passage, so that those who speak maliciously against you and your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Well, there are two other references to deceitful speech, if you will, which is malice and slander. Amen? So now we're digging a little deeper to find out, all right, what is malice? Who can tell me what malice is? Anybody know off the top of their heads? Let's define it. Malice, extreme enmity of the heart, or malevolence, a disposition to injure others without cause. From mere personal gratification or from a spirit of revenge, unprovoked but malignity or spite. Now, we are warned not to speak maliciously against anyone, amen? Malice. It's a cold thing. And as we dig deeper and we find out what malice really is, how does God feel about that? Let's look over in Romans chapter 1, verse 29. Again, all these things tie into one another as we dig deeper into the scriptures. Amen. Romans 1, 29 says, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. Now the two have been joined together. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. You see how all these words tie in together? You see how deceitful speech can lead into other things? It's a very deep concept. Amen? Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And look at this. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and what? Slander, along with every form of malice. So as we continue to dig, we see that deceitful speech can lead into whole other venue, if you will, a whole other avenue. Slander, malice. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Now, if we were to dig even deeper to find out what is unwholesome talk, all these things would be mentioned in there. If we were to start to research and do a study on unwholesome talk, just to find out what it is, first and foremost, and then to find out if we were to study out mouths or lips, we'd be surprised at what we would find. Amen? And again, we see here in 4:31 that it says how it links rage and malice and slander. Amen? All tied in what God hates. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8 says, but you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. That's another thing we can study out, to dig deeper. If you do a study on lips,